joke, Serve the City is launching today. So if you haven't already, go pick up a little tag from the back of the room and get yourself in the game. But what else does everybody need to know about Serve the City?
That's right, Serve the City is launching today. This is phase one. Remember last week we were talking about two phases? Phase one is our one-up donations. So if you'd like to do the shopping yourself, as Kim said, you can grab a tag and sign up from the back of the sanctuary. Or if you prefer our elves to do the shopping, just go to our website and you will find a Serve the City big blue button. Hit that button and it will send you all the information. It will tell you how to give online. It will tell you a ways to contact us if you'd like to volunteer for the 1UP December 10th party. And it'll also just give you any other information you may need.
You betcha, definitely a very good button to hit. And speaking of the party that we're gonna be putting on for 1UP, that's happening December the 10th.
That's right.
And we need some volunteers.
We sure do. There will be a list of positions that we do need. One of our main positions is just people to come and help with the activities. So if this is something that interests you, please email our office at office@spanishbaptist.org or fill out that contact form on the website.
You betcha, lots of stuff going on there and it's gonna be really exciting. So we really encourage you to get involved with Serve the City Christmas this year. And secondly, Christina is here to tell us a little bit about next Sunday, November 27th.
Yes, next Sunday, we are having a town hall meeting after our 10 o'clock service where we're going to be looking at the results from the questionnaire that you filled out last week. Mm-hmm. And in order to get as many people at that meeting as possible, we are actually going to be combining our services. So we're not going to be having a service at our Centennial Park campus next Sunday, but a combined one at our Wilkinson Road campus 10 o'clock service. At the beginning of that meeting, we're also going to be doing just a little bit of business. So we're going to be voting in new members and voting in new servant leaders. So if you are a member, we have packages both online and at Connect Desk at both our campuses. So grab those packages so you're prepared for the meeting.
Awesome. And like always, if you got any questions or you're not quite sure, head to our website or email us at office@standishbaptist.org. I think that's all we've got for you, so we'll see you next week all together at our combined service. See you there.
Well, good morning and welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us for worship today on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Algonquin people. And I'm loving the buzz that was feeling. Hopefully that's just you guys are all buzzing about Serve the City, which is all set up and ready for you in the back. If you didn't get a chance because you got here a little late and you had to just get right to your chair for the service, make sure you head back there after the service. There's still a few tags I see, and we've got lots to pick up. So let's bless some families this year. I always love Christmas and just Serve the City Christmas is such a great opportunity for us to bless people and families in need this Christmas. And so we're excited to be able to do that. But as we begin, I just want to read this call to worship that's based on Psalm 46. And it says this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Come and see what the Lord has done. He makes wars cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." I don't know about you, but I need that reminder. Be still and know that I am God. Awesome. Well, I'm going to invite you to stand. And we're going to start off by singing, "The Battle Belongs. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory, God." So let's worship our God together this morning. Victory. When all I see is
Keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that
is who you are. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are here, healing every heart. I worship you. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
Darkness, you give hope, you restore.
God. We just praise you. Because sometimes when we think about how you work, we picture some big grandiose thing, and often you do that. Sometimes you do work in that way. But God, sometimes it's in just the next breath that we take that you are working. Sometimes it's just in the next step that we take that you are working. And so God, we do recognize that each person that you have drawn into this building or who have tuned into this service online, God, you have brought here for a reason, because you desire to speak to us, because you desire to meet with us, because you are a God who is always desiring and working to bring light into darkness, to give hope where there's despair, to heal and restore hearts and broken lives. And so, God, we do give you all of the praise and all of the glory. We thank you for the ways that you have done that in our own lives. And God, would you not allow us to hoard your work and your glory in our own lives, but would we be bringers of that hope and that light to others as well? So, yeah, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, God, because you are completely worthy of it. And we pray all of these things in your precious name. Amen. Well, you can have a seat. And kids, if you want to head to the back, Shyla is back there, and she would love to take you to your kids' program upstairs where you guys can continue worshiping there. And otherwise, Christina is going to bring the word today. Woo!
Well, good morning, everyone. It's always good to come together and worship with all of you. Does that sound better? Sort of. But there is something special about when you're the one who is going to come and speak, because you know what's coming and you can see all the connections of the things that we have been proclaiming together with what we're going to be reading in Scripture. And so, first of all, I just want to say thank you for declaring those truths this morning as a community, because this is what we're talking about today. We're talking about these truths that we need to hold on to, these things that we are going to stand firm in. So if you have been with us for the last few weeks, you will know that we've been going through this kind of short sermon series looking through the book of Ephesians, this letter that Paul wrote to a church in Ephesus, and we've been exploring what it means to be alive in Christ, what it means to experience all that God has for us, to kind of put on these different lenses and look at the world differently because of Christ's death and resurrection. And so we realize that the book is divided into two parts. So we have chapters 1-3, which is talking about all of these spiritual blessings. And we kind of sang about a bunch of them already, but God had created this new people, right? This family of God where we are chosen, we're given new identities as sons and daughters, we're free, we've been forgiven, we're saved, we're restored to right relationship with God, we've been given insight and power. So we just celebrated all those spiritual blessings that God gave us. And then we switched in chapter 4, and Paul gets really practical and he starts saying, hey, this is what it actually means to live in that reality. It's not enough just to know it. Now you actually have to live it out. Lindsay's been using the language that being alive in Christ has a way about it. Like, we actually need to look different. We need to speak differently when we truly live it, this life in Christ. And so if you've been tracking with us, you will know that we should be still in chapter 5, but next week David Harita is going to be with us, going to be speaking on that passage. And if you're curious why I'm not speaking on it today, I invite you just to read the rest of chapter 5 and maybe you can guess why I decided I didn't want to do it. But I get to speak on chapter 6, this very familiar passage to probably many of us, and that we call the armor of God. So before I get into it, let me just pray. Yeah, God, I thank you that your spirit is here, that we can never hide from your spirit, that you are always with us, but that when we gather in your name, there is something that is so special. When we declare your truth, there is something that is powerful that happens. And so, God, I pray that that will just continue, that your words will be spoken, that our hearts will be open to hear directly from you. We know that you want to speak to us. We know that there are things that you want to teach us today, that you want to encourage us in. So I pray that you'll just remove the distractions, remove the things that want to get in the way, so that we can just sit in your presence, that we can just hear from you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 10, says, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So Paul is nearing the end of his letter, and he says, "Hey, I've got one more note for you guys. And it is, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." And we need to do that because there is going to be opposition. All that stuff that we've been learning about, the spiritual blessings, that this is the way that we need to live, the feel, the look, the way of being alive in Christ, there's going to be opposition to that. And last week, if you were here, you will have heard Lindsay talk about how he's really sporty, and he had all these stories about sports. Do you remember that? So I thought today I need to tell you about my experience with sports. In junior high, so that's how far back we're going, I tried to be sporty for a little bit. So I joined the volleyball team and the badminton team. And let me tell you, I was awesome when I was playing with my friends. And we were just trying to like see how many times we could volley the ball or the birdie back and forth. I rocked. And then I had to actually go play a game. And I realized that the opposing team, they weren't hoping for my success. They actually wanted me to not succeed. And ultimately, I didn't. And that's when I quit sports. So Paul is saying here, hey, we have true opposition. This isn't practice. This isn't playing with friends. This is the real game. And there is going to be opposition. There are enemies of God that are actively working against his plans and purposes. The scary thing, though, is we don't always like talking about the unseen world, especially when we're talking about evil spirits, right? We start to get a bit uncomfortable, but we need to talk about it, and I just want to say a few things about this passage that we just read. And the first thing is that when we read this, we're reading Paul's assumption about the world. When he's giving us this vision of what reality really is, where these spiritual blessings are, where we are alive in Christ, part of that reality is this unseen world, that there are powers of darkness, that there are evil spirits. And so we need to simply acknowledge that that is real, that there is a battle going on. And I think one of the main reasons we need to do that is because if we don't acknowledge the reality of this, we can very easily start to misidentify who our enemies are, right? If we don't realize that the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against these powers, against these spirits, we start looking around and finding enemies and starting battles with the very people that God has called us to love. So we need to acknowledge, whether we understand it or not, we need to acknowledge that there is this unseen world and that there are spirits who hate God and who are actively working against him. The second thing that we need to be clear about, though, every time we talk about this unseen world, is that there is nothing and there is no one, whether seen or unseen, who is equal match with God. Nothing and no one. It says in Colossians 1:16, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see, yes, creation, and he made the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. That realm, those enemies of God, are created beings. There is no one equal to God. And that is why Paul says that we need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He has got ultimate power. There is no one who is equal to him. And so we need to humble ourselves. We need to stop finding our strength in ourselves or in our own willpower. And we need to find our strength in the one who conquered death. There is no match for God. And I grew up here in Canada, but I had a unique experience because my parents met and got married in Haiti, where, I don't know, the devil hasn't tricked them the same extent I feel like he's tricked us. There's more recognition of that spiritual world. But they lived for a time next to a witch doctor. And that witch doctor had to move his practice across the city after a little while living next to them because he could not practice witchcraft anymore when there were people living next to him who had the Holy Spirit living within them and who were actively praying. That is the power of our God. There is no power that even comes close to the power of our God. And not only that, the last point I want to make about this, there is an unseen battle. God is stronger than any other created thing. And he has already won the victory. We don't have to be concerned about who wins this battle. He has already done it. We read in Colossians 2:14-15, that he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. There is no doubt Christ has won the victory. And that's why Paul doesn't say, here's how you engage in battle. No, he says, this is how you stand firm. Stand firm in his power because we are standing firm in the victory. We are standing firm on the ground that has already been taken. And so when you read about these evil spirits, but the powers of darkness, remember those things. There is no match for God, and he has won the victory. And he has given us everything we need to stand firm. Let's continue reading. Verse 13, he says, Paul says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And so to stand firm, we need to be putting on proper attire. And this was reminding me of, I went to Tofino for the first time this past summer, and it was amazing. I understand the hype around it now. But there was one day where we decided that we were going to go get Taco Fino, which was great, except for I live in Victoria, and there's a Taco Fino here. And instead, we stood in line for an hour and a half. And it was pouring rain the whole time. And I looked around at all these people wearing like thousands of dollars worth of Arc'teryx gear. But the reason they were wearing it, the only reason they were wearing it, you know, the jacket, the pants, the shoes, the everything, they were doing it for one purpose, and it was so when the rain stopped or when they went inside and they took it off, they would be bone dry, right? They were wearing the proper attire for the task that they were doing, standing in the rain trying to get tacos. I, on the other hand, was wearing jeans, and I was wet the rest of the day. And so we need to, first of all, recognize, where's our battle? Oh yeah, it's not against flesh and blood enemies. It's against this unseen battle that's going on, these spirits, these powers of darkness. And so I need to put on the proper attire so that I can stand firm. And so let's quickly go through those things that Paul says we need to put on. He starts with the belt of truth. And it's a fitting place to start, right? Start with truth. And especially if you think of truth as a belt, it holds everything up and things hang off of it. And it feels like more than ever, we're living in a world where truth like seems to have no meaning. It's so subjective. But we as Christ followers, we have something that is so solid that we can really put on, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? We can return over and over again to him. And then he gave us his Spirit. And his Spirit guides us into all truth. You know, we read in chapter 4, so a few weeks ago when we were looking at chapter 4, we were talking about how the body of Christ, the church, we grow in maturity. And while we do that, we start to be able to discern what is true. We start to discern when lies that sound a lot like truth are still lies. And you know what? I think that's one of the devil's greatest strategies, is to try to take things that are lies and twist it to make it sound so close to the truth. And so we need to be listening intently to the truth. We need to be listening intently to Jesus. So we need to be opening our Bibles and reading the truth. We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. And we need to be doing this. We need to be coming together in community. We need to be able to have other people say, hey, I don't think that's true, to expose the lies and to proclaim, as we were doing worshiping together, proclaim truth together. So we start with that belt of truth. And then Paul says that we put on the body armor, or the breastplate of righteousness. And this breastplate of righteousness is not our own righteousness, right? We read in Corinthians 5:21 that God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It is not anything we have done, but it is because of Jesus' righteousness that we have been made right with God. We can have right relationship with God. But like almost everything, we are given this. It's a free gift. And yet, then we have to live it out, right? We read in Ephesians chapter 4 that we need to put on our new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We receive the gift of righteousness, but then we still need to continually throw off that old nature, that sin nature, and put on the new nature. We were created in the image of God. We were created to reflect him, to be holy and righteous. And so every day, we need to be putting on righteousness, choosing, allowing God to transform us more and more into his image. And then Paul says that we need to put some shoes on, shoes that are peace. And what I love about this is if you had any doubt that this armor was different than any other kind of armor, this is the piece that tells you, right? Who prepares for a battle and puts on peace? This is a different kind of armor that we are putting on. But Jesus, through his death and resurrection, he has made peace between us and God. Made peace between us and God first, and then has called us to walk out and make peace with others. Right? Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the powers, the spirits. So we need to be a people of peace, first with God, and then with others. Then Paul says that we're to hold up the shield of faith. And this piece of armor, it has a very specific purpose. Paul says that it's to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. And I think the reason he's so specific in this one is because faith is this weird thing where, like, how do you know if someone has faith? How do you know if you have faith until it's tested, right? You can say, I believe it, I agree with it, until something is actually tested. And then you see if your faith is true. And so we need a strong shield. And so when those doubts come, you know, I think about the garden when the serpent comes and he starts to say, did God really say that? Does God really have your best interest in mind? We can need to have that shield to go like, no, no, no. I actually trust these things. I trust what is true. I can't just say it with my mouth. I actually live it out. When those fiery arrows come, I can lift up my shield. And we can only, the only way to have a strong shield is to go to Jesus, is to fix our eyes on Jesus. It says in Hebrews that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. We put our faith in him. He has shown us what true faith looks like. And he sustains our faith. And so a strong shield is a shield that helps us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith. And then the final piece of defensive armor that Paul lists is the helmet of salvation. We read in chapter 2 of Ephesians that we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift from God so that no one can take credit for it, right? Our salvation comes from Jesus. By his death and resurrection, we are saved from sin and death. And then every day, he's saving us from that. Every day, he is rescuing us. He is transforming us more and more into his image. And what is so... the good news about this is that we don't have to be saviors. When we go into the world, we don't have to be the savior because we have a savior. There is a savior of the world who has completed everything on the cross. It is finished. And he is constantly saving, bringing people to himself, rescuing us from sin and death. And then Paul goes on and he talks about the two offensive pieces of armor, the two weapons. And he starts with the sword of the Spirit. And this is not the only time in Scripture that we see the Word of God being compared to a sword, right? The vision that John had of Jesus in Revelation, there's that double-edged sword that's coming out of his mouth. The Word of God is a double-edged sword. We also read in Hebrews 4 that the Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And what I love about this, the armor of God, every part of it is good. Every part of it is loving, even the weapon. This weapon that we use to stand firm is the same weapon that God uses to form us. And it reminded me of 2 Corinthians 2, where Paul, he's referencing, you know, preaching the word of God, and he says to those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And I think that's what the word of God, the sword of the Spirit is. To those of us who are alive in Christ, oh, the word of God is alive and active. It's something that is for our good. But to those who are enemies of God, to those powers, those spirits that we are having to stand firm against, it is death. It is destruction. And so we need to pull out our weapon, the word of God. We need to preach to one another. We need to speak the words of God that bring life, that is good news, but is also helping us to stand firm and battle against those who seek to destroy, those who hate God. And then the last piece, the second offensive piece that Paul lists, is prayer. And it says in verse 18 that we are to pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion, to stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And so prayer, too, is this weapon that I don't understand. There's this mystery in prayer, but somehow when we pray, we are engaging in that unseen battle. You may never understand what you are doing when you pray, but we know, we can be confident that when we pray, we are participating, we are standing firm in this battle. And so my encouragement is, let's use that weapon. Let's pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. And maybe there are some of you here today that are like, yep, I have heard this so many times. From the time I was in kids' church to now, I've heard about the armor of God. And me too. But when I was reading through it and when I was studying it this week, there were a couple of things as I looked at it in its entirety that just struck me. And so I just want to point out those two things. The first one is that I have always been taught that we as individuals put on the armor of God. You know, you wake up and you should put on the armor of God. But I think looking at Ephesians as a whole and then looking at these individual pieces, that the armor of God is not only for us as individuals, but it's for us as the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs to put on the armor of God. Right? We need to put on the belt of truth. We need to speak truth to one another. We need to call out those lies. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? Together, we need to be being transformed more and more into the image of God. Think about it. The body of Christ. The image of God. As each of us are generous and share and participate in the body, we are becoming more and more like Christ. We are being more and more transformed into his image. We need to, you know, put on our shoes. We need to have peace with one another. And that peace can only come from being unified in having peace with God. What comes after that? We need to, the shield of faith, right? We need to encourage one another in faith. You can't do this by yourself. Have you noticed that? We need one another. We need to come alongside those who are struggling and say, no, fix your eyes on Jesus. When doubt starts to come, when the evil one just wants to start going like, is he really there? Look around. You can't see him anywhere. It's all on you. We need each other to go like, no, he's there. He's there. He's there. Let me tell you about how I've seen him recently. We need to remember together, as we're going to actually be doing shortly when we take communion, that it is only through Jesus' broken blood, broken body and his shed blood, that we are saved, that we're welcomed into right relationship with God. We together need to put on that helmet of salvation and realize that Jesus is our Savior. We find life in him because of what he did on the cross. And then we take that sword, we preach the word of God, we do it in maybe this traditional way, but we do it when we interact with one another, when we sing songs together. And then we need to pray for one another, right? Paul says it, that we need to pray for all believers everywhere. The body of Christ needs to put on the armor of God to stand firm. And then the second thing, this one I thought was pretty cool. Second thing I noticed reading through this passage. Maybe you noticed it as well. But every piece of armor is Jesus. Did you notice that? He is truth. We've been given his righteousness. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's our Savior. He's the Word of God. And it's in his name that we pray. So really, when we put on the armor of God, we put on Jesus, and we put on Jesus, and we put on Jesus, and we pick up Jesus, and we put on Jesus, and we pick up Jesus, and we pray in Jesus' name. Right? Like, we have a role to play because we actually have to put it on. We are active in this, but it is only Jesus that allows us to stand firm. It's not complicated. He's just that dynamic, that powerful. And so we are going to take communion together this morning, and we are going to remember what Jesus has done for us, that we can find life in him, because he who had no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. We might have right relationship with God. We're going to remember that he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And remember, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. We're going to remember that it is only by Jesus' death and resurrection that we are able to stand firm. We can stand firm against all the strategies of the evil one. And so I'm going to pray, and then there are three stations set up here. We have one up here, one in the back, one in this corner over here. And so I'm going to invite you to just take your time, and when you're ready to get up, take the elements, take the bread, take the cup, to remember that it is Jesus. He has given us everything we need. He has made it so that we can have true life, that we can be alive in him. So, yeah, let me just pray for all of us. Yeah, God, I thank you that you gave Paul these words. This final note, to be strong in your power. Thank you that this was not just for this church in Ephesus, this is for us too. That all those gifts, all those pieces of armor that were available to them are available to us today because you are alive, because you defeated sin and death, because you've invited us into abundant eternal life. Yeah, God, we recognize that all we have, all we are, is because of what Jesus accomplished through his death and resurrection. There is mystery. There are things that we can't see or feel, or we just can't understand them. And yet, we can put our trust, our faith completely in you, because we know that you are all-powerful, that you have conquered sin and death. And so, as we take these elements, as we remember your broken body, as we remember your blood shed for us, May we commit once again to live out all those things that have already been given to us. To allow you to every day transform us more and more into your image, to your righteousness, into your holiness. That we will recognize that it is nothing that we can do. It is all a gift from you. So God, we thank you. We praise you. And we remember what you have done. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So as Christina shared with us, this is a community experience. And so sometimes we take communion right at the station, but we're asking this morning if you maybe take the cup and the bread and bring it back with you to your place. And then together, as the body of Christ, we're going to take this and do this in remembrance of Jesus. So when you're ready, three stations, here at the front, two at the back. It's a beautiful thing to be able to gather for you at home. Trust that you've had a moment to consider. We want to take time to remember and remember in this moment what Jesus has done, what he's offered us. This bread represents his body, the life he lived, our author and our perfecter of our faith. We do this and take this in remembrance of him. As we've gone through this study, one of the things we've recognized is that God is the forgiver. And his forgiveness is not conditional, it's unconditional. And then he calls us to forgive others. Have you received the complete forgiveness of Christ? Might his peace be upon you through the shedding of his blood, that we might be able to live that reality out for others. We do this in remembrance of Jesus.
Invite you to stand, and we're going to sing the rest of In Christ Alone. And at that time, we're also going to invite the ushers to come forward. We're going to take up the offering. But let's proclaim, there in the ground his body lay, light of the world, by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For we are his and he is ours, and we're bought with the precious blood of Christ. So let's proclaim this together. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, precious blood of Christ. Oh, blood of Christ, precious Christ, oh, in Christ alone. Oh, let's proclaim no guilt in life, no guilt in life. Calls me home. here in the power of Christ, all stay. Sing that one more time. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, in the armor of Christ, I'll stand. Let's just sing that one more time. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stay.
Oh, it's good to be together, isn't it? It's good to be here on the kickoff of Service City Christmas. Now, this might be one of the hardest years for us, actually, as we've been doing Serve the City with all the inflation and all the things that we're frustrated with. It's hard. But that's why we do what we're doing with the Serve the City, is that it is hard. And for some folks, it's almost impossible, frankly, to do something that we will probably naturally do this Christmas, which is bless somebody else, be generous, and buy a gift or two. And so we understand that it's a bit of a challenge. This year, we're doing something a little bit differently. As you've heard, we have received the honor of being able to work in fuller partnership with One Up Society. And so we are kicking off Serve the City with One Up Society gifts. And so you can go to the back of the auditorium. For those of you who are watching online, please hit the website. And you can see about a family that you could maybe partner with. And then we have the opportunity to host them here in our facility, which that may not seem like a very big deal to you. But I don't know if you've noticed, but the church isn't always a welcoming place to the world around us. At least that's not how others perceive it. And frankly, that's somehow we've earned that reputation, maybe. Is that possible? But recently, that's been changing with some of the organizations we've served with. For years, dozen years. And they're going, you'd have us into your building? Of course we would. So there's gifts, stuff like that. There's volunteer opportunities. I encourage you to go back. These need to be back by December 4th, all right? And so thank you for partnering with us in that way, for partnering with God on this. Earlier in the series, right, we talked about let's not be greedy, and let's understand that what we have in our careers, in our paychecks, that they're actually not just for us, but they're for how we can share with those in need. That's literally what Paul said. It was kind of challenging, I think, for all of us. So that's what we're trying to do here. For those of you who are new and this is a new concept, that's what this is all about. Enough of me. If you need prayer this morning, there will be people up front. If you want to connect with us, love to have it. You can do it with the card in the chair back. You can reach out to the office. You can come and see me. I'll be hanging out up front here. It's been so good to have you with us. Let me read this benediction in closing. Yeah. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.